We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It is our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're heading down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival. And we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcast. Festival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Wake that ass up
early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Jess Hilarious, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
The legendary.
Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah, what's happening?
What
How
up, JD?
Doing? What's going on?
Good. Where you want to start? You want to start the number one
freak
record?
Freak Nick.
Money Long, congratulations on Money Long first?
Yeah, we can start with the number one.
All right,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Monday morning, number one record.
That's right. Amazing. Money Long, number one record this week, produced by JD.
Yeah.
That's nothing to you no more, JD?
It's nothing.
Yeah, I'm saying that's nothing to you no more.
Oh, okay, no, okay. I'm saying I don't want to start with that. I came to talk about Freak Nick.
Right. I just want to say congratulations.
No, though. I'm saying I'm ecstatic about it.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. Now let's talk about Freak Nick, this Freak Nick documentary.
Yeah.
Now, when making this documentary, you had tons of ladies and men scared that they were going to see their pictures, their asses on the screen, but it was well done. It wasn't done in a disrespectful way. So explain to it this documentary, how it came out.
How it came up?
Yeah,
how it came about. Well, I mean, it came about, I think Luke was trying to do this initially, mm-hmm. and then they started having conversations about it, and Luke said, you know, he can't do it if I wasn't involved. And then when they came to talk to me about it, I said the same thing to them. I'm like, well, I wouldn't do this if Luke wasn't involved. And they're like, well, we got Luke, so do we got you? And I'm like, yeah. So it went from there, and then it just kind of just started moving pretty fast. And then I just wanted to make sure that the story was told from all perspectives, because the people that was concerned about the ass is showing and all of that, they don't understand how young I was when Freak Nick was actually popping.
Mm-hmm.
So my perspective of Freak Nick wasn't that perspective. I ain't see all that because I wasn't able to get into the clubs and all of this type of stuff. So my perspective was I was part of the street traffic. Mm-hmm. I was out in the streets. I was dancing outside the cars. I was on Peachtree. That was a part of Freak Nick that I saw. Other people saw. Luke got a different story, mm-hmm. and other people. So it was just really important for me to see, make sure that we made you see everybody's different perspective.
How much did y'all have to water the doc down because of this lame-ass cancel culture era that we
had? None. Because, I mean, I feel like ultimately what people don't understand is this is black culture. Are you embarrassed by our culture? Like, mm-hmm. are you embarrassed that you went to an HBCU and this is how y'all act?
Word.
If that's how you feel, then you should just change your color of your skin, because that's life in Atlanta. We got four. You know what I mean? Where everywhere else got one. Y'all got Hampton and one. We have four of them. So if you put all of that energy in one place, it's just what black culture is.
Absolutely.
I mean,
how did 21 Savage get to be a part of it? I mean, I know that this was y'all era, you and Uncle Luke, but how did hook up with 21?
Well, 21, he'd been doing his birthday party, and the theme of his birthday party is Freaknik for the past couple of years. So at first I was like, no, but then, you know, he live in Atlanta. He from, well, I mean, you know, he not from Atlanta, but he from basically from Atlanta. So if you from Atlanta, you felt the repercussions of something from Freaknik at some point, you know.
It's crazy because, you know, going to Hampton, of course, Freaknik created so many different gatherings, right? Philly Greek, 4th of July in Virginia, Jones Beach in New York City. It all started from Freaknik, but I just thought it was a party that was created just for people to wild out. That's what I thought it was. When you were in college, that's what you think it was. But the fact that it was created for students that didn't have any money was something. You want to break that down? Because I thought it was created for a whole different reason.
Well, I mean, that's what I'm saying. A lot of people, I didn't go to college, so I can't, you know what I mean? I didn't know that either. So the person that's watching this, that's probably me, that didn't go to college, that don't know nothing about that lifestyle, you know, you don't understand that these kids that come from D.C. or New York or wherever they come, they go all the way to Atlanta. You think that they got money to just fly back home on spring break and just,
well, back then we didn't fly. We would drive.
Exactly.
And we didn't have money.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, even that's another thing that this documentary shows of how unmanual we are as people. Unmanual as we are as people, because you guys used to drive. Mm-hmm. Now, when you think you're going to see four girls from New York get in a car and drive to Atlanta just to have fun?
No way. Spirit Airlines.
Never.
$90.
You know what I'm saying? So it just shows you that type of stuff. And then, like, you know, so you should see that Freaknik is like, oh, these were some kids that couldn't go home. They didn't know what their spring break was going to be like. They watching all these white kids go to
Daytona Beach
and all this, and they got money. But these kids are stuck in Atlanta and ain't got no money. So they threw a picnic that turned into Freaknik. Mm. That's an American black history story.
Mm-hmm. Well, people weren't afraid to be broke back then.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have no choice to be afraid.
But no, nowadays people can front, right? So everybody can pretend to be something that they're not. You can pretend to have more than you got. Like, nobody wants to admit,
I mean, but
they
still be
it.
Fronting too. They just, you know, they. I mean, well, you know, I be seeing these girls go to Tulum, and I'm sure they sharing rooms.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
But you know, back then it didn't matter. Like, back then,
you know what I'm saying? It didn't matter back then.
Like, you would go to, you know, Philly Greek or 4th of July in Virginia, and it'd be seven of us in the room, and nobody thought about anything. It wasn't, we broke and be like, oh, you got the floor, you got the, you take your quick shower. But that's what it was, because we was all hanging out as brothers. It didn't matter.
That's why I thought it was, for me, that's why, as we got into it, that's why I was like, this has to come out, because people, you know, we don't see this in black culture. We just keep trying to make it seem like everybody got money and everybody do this and that. No, it was a time when none of that mattered. Right. And I like when Jalen Rose was talking about how he got to Freaknik. Mm-hmm. He took his cousin car or something. And it was just like, you know, long as I get a car, I'm out. We get into Freaknik. And it was the same thing with me when I was 17 or, well, 16, when I had just got my first car. My first car was a Velari, a two door Velari, basically. Probably listening don't even know what that is. Mm-hmm. But it was an ugly ass car that looked like a Pacer mixed with something else. Right. Mm-hmm. And I didn't care what the car looked like. I just was able to drive around Atlanta while this was happening. Mm-hmm. And that's all. That's ultimately what the goal was. Can you get into the Freaknik? Can you get in the traffic? If you sitting at home and you can't get in, that's when you're mad. But if you have a car, that's all it was about.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy how they easily cancel black events, right? Mm-hmm. But you look at Daytona Beach, you look at Miami Spring Break, you look at where the white kids go for their spring break, and they wild out, they get drunk, they fight, and all types of stuff. But those events never get canceled. It seemed like they try to tame it, but they just totally cancel Freaknik, which is crazy.
I mean, they had to, because it was bad. I mean, it got to a point, and I'm not talking about the misconduct with the guys and the girls. I'm talking about just the traffic and how the city was dealing with it, because ultimately, these guys that was at their school, they started something they never talked to the people in the city. So the city had no idea what was actually happening. When it got out of control, they just started trying to control it the best way they could, but they weren't even talking to the DC Metro Club, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, at that point, it's like Frankenstein. You done created a monster, and y'all can't control this. You got, the only thing you can do is shut it down at least for a second and try to see if y'all can figure out how to make it work.
Did it ever come back?
No.
I know we tried a couple years ago. Nah.
I think it could come back if, you know, if people really, really sit down and figure out how to make it into Essence Fest, because that's basically what it should have become. Mm-hmm. It should have become the Essence Fest of Atlanta, right? But the traffic part of it was that was the shit.
Well, most of the people who go to Essence Fest now probably used to go to Freak.
They do. Sure. They did. 100%. All them black people was at Freak.
Yeah.
You just got to define the name, because when people hear the name Freak Nick, they think it's going to be a...
Yeah, but I'm saying we can get past that. We got Slutty Vegan now.
Yeah. For real. Amazon got flood wall. I just think it's too much cameras now.
That's the other thing. That's the only thing I would say. If you go to Freak Nick now, you got to put your phone away because you'll miss the girls dancing on the cars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fact that you was driving down the street and you were looking for everything is how you saw Freak Nick. Mm-hmm. If somebody down there doing this, you're going to miss everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another thing. You got to, you know, and maybe the hype of it and people saying it might make people want to see it. But I just think people are so, like, attached to their phones. Yeah. And they think everything is more important than their phone as opposed to seeing what's happening outside.
Mm-hmm. And how come nobody ever focuses on some of the women that went down there because they wanted to have a good time? Like, they wanted to go out there and be loose and wild and liberated because it's Freak Nick.
Okay. Yeah, we talk about that. Okay. We let the girls talk about that to show that they was grabbing the dudes, you know, dick and all that type of stuff.
It went both ways.
It was going both ways.
Do you think Uncle Luke's music helped or hurt Freak Nick?
100%. It helped. Between Uncle Luke and Social Def Bass All Stars, that's the soundtrack of Freak Nick. You know what I mean? And it was like, I also think now, with Miami shutting down spring break and all that, it's the music. Because the people nothing's making you dance, right? Nothing making you jump on top of the cars. You see people doing it, but they doing it to music that don't really have that vibration, right? At Freak Nick, the girls was dancing so hard and the guys was dancing so hard, you ain't had time to be worrying about nobody beside. Like, it was the energy level was just too high, right? And I just think the Luke music, like I said, the Social Def Bass All Star, the music was making you dance in a different space, and it made you think about, like, you was like this, and it wasn't, you don't have time to be like, hey, nigga, we ain't come down here for that. Mm-hmm. We came down here to see these girls. Let's go see these girls. It's almost like the mentality of a man when he goes to the strip club, right? I go to the strip club every week. You go to the strip club, guys don't come in the strip club looking for niggas.
Right.
They come in the strip club to see the girls. Mm-hmm. Right? That was the mentality of Freak Nick. And for some reason, that's kind of lost in the space that we live in now. Niggas want to go see what other niggas wearing.
Mm-hmm. You think, well, speaking of that, if Freak Nick... speaking of that, if Freak Nick did come back today, would you wear the Boss Baby outfit you wore at the Super Bowl?
Boss Baby outfit.
Yeah. What was the inspiration behind that outfit, JD?
First of all, I had on a tuxedo with shorts. Mm-hmm. Very similar to what I have on today.
Yes.
I have on a tie, a regular suit shirt, and I got on shorts.
It's very boys to men.
Yeah.
Louis, I mean, everything.
and it's Vegas, right? You know what I'm saying? It's a Super Bowl. It's the biggest event in the world. I could have went up there with a starter jacket and a starter hat.
Mm-hmm.
How regular a nigga is that, though? Like, I'm just saying, I think sometimes people don't realize, like, I'm in the entertainment business, and I'm getting ready to do the biggest show of Usher's life, and my life, I guess you want to say. Mm-hmm. We going on the biggest stage in the world, and I should be wearing a baseball cap and some looking like a regular-ass nigga in the streets? I mean, that was the thought behind it, right? So it was more or less like, you know, a while ago, like, Envy, you remember, we started this thing called the Ocean 7, right? And it was me, Usher, Jonte, B. Cox. We used to go to Vegas, and we got dressed. Mm-hmm. And we'd be dressed up. So I wanted to actually have a piece of that in what we was doing. That, you know, we in Vegas. Like, you don't go to Usher show. I seen you at Usher show. You was dressed. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Niggas go to his show dressed up. Mm-hmm. You don't go to Vegas with your FUBU on. Word. You know what I mean? You just don't do that. Like,
so you did it to get people talking, basically.
No, I didn't do it to get people talking. I didn't even think nobody was going to pay no attention to it. I had on a tuxedo with a tie and a regular shirt. The socks threw people off.
Well, that's they were talking about, they didn't care about the tux. They were talking about the socks.
They were talking about the socks, right? And the socks, once again, the socks, I understand why everybody keeps saying something about the socks, because they do look like, I guess, what they say, the Bobby socks. They don't have nothing to do with that. They don't look nothing like that once you get up on the socks. And they also, you know, like I said, it's just, I don't know. It's my man's line, right? First of all, that's another thing. Pharrell's my man. He ain't down niggas' man, right? I don't know this nigga. In support of my homeboy line, I mean, I wasn't even thinking about it. It just happened. But, I mean, shit, listen. I put my first group out in 1992. I'm trending in 2024.
Yeah.
Y'all can say whatever the fuck you want to say.
Still got number one records. What did Usher's Super Bowl halftime performance mean to you?
Everything.
As the architect... Really, the architect of Usher, if we being honest.
Yep. Yeah, everything. It means everything, because when we made My Way, the discussion that he and I had making that record was that he wanted to get to that space. He wanted to, and once he got to that space, he wanted people to realize he did it his way. That's how that whole album came about. So for me to be in that seat and watch it go from My Way to this, I probably was the most proud. And then at the same time, I mean, you know, he did six of my songs on Super Bowl. Crazy. It's like, you know, it's not a bunch of motherfuckers that can say
crazy.
They had six of their songs performed on Super Bowl.
I argued with somebody up here the other day when they heard Confessions, right? A younger person. And they were like, yeah, he wrote Confessions. I was like, Confessions was about Jermaine Dupri. That Jermaine Dupri wrote that. That's factual.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah. So,
I wrote You Make Me Wanna. I wrote My Way. I wrote Nice and Slow. Mm-hmm. I wrote Confessions. I wrote You Got It Bad. I wrote My Boo. I wrote all these songs. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, people be like breaking it down when they talk about it and they say Confessions, but Nice and Slow, all these songs I wrote. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so it's just the story of Confessions, I think, took over, and it was like I was that guy. I was the person that was in that position.
But it happened right when he broke up with Chili. So people just assumed
that he wrote it.
That he was writing it about Chili.
Yeah.
But that was your story.
And I mean, when writing it, I didn't think about, I wouldn't even think about that. You know, you just go to the studio and you write songs. It's not even about, I mean, sometimes you have a motive behind it, but we was trying to just follow up. I was trying to follow up You Got It Bad. It just came off 8701 and it was a big album. So it was like, what y'all gonna do this time?
Is Usher the biggest jewel in your crown?
The biggest what?
The biggest jewel in your crown?
I don't know. I mean, Mariah Carey song of the decade.
Yeah, that Emancipation was a monster.
I don't know. I don't know. There's a couple in there.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely, well, let me say this. Rolling Stone said that Usher is Confessions is the R&B, the number one R&B record of this 21st century, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or 20th century, whatever it is, 21st century. So, I mean, if that's a true statement, then I guess so. I mean, that's a big record. That's a big statement.
Do you think Atlanta as a whole is getting documented properly?
No. That's why, another reason why I want to make sure that this documentary gets the stage that it's on. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Hulu, Disney, Mass Appeal for actually allowing us to finally tell our story on this stage, because this is the first story from the South that's ever been told.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say that,
we're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Seeing our communities grow and thrive is something we care deeply about here at Black Tech Green Money. State Farm Insurance also cares about the growth of Black communities. They're actively investing in programs and initiatives that help provide financial literacy, give early career advice, and grow Black-owned businesses, thus leading to generational wealth, which helps protect the future of our communities. We want to build a future that we all can be proud of. State Farm understands that representation alone doesn't equate to authenticity. It also requires active sponsorship of programs like the AXO, a year-long program that recognizes and rewards high school students for their academic and cultural achievements, along with funding programs like Project Ready, a National Urban League program committed to educational achievement of Black and brown youth that has awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to date. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities and can have a long-lasting impact. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Opportunity is not equally distributed. To every Black entrepreneur listening, I want to make sure you have the tools and resources you need to grab your next opportunity. That's why I'm telling you about the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative. The 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative is an award-winning program created by Shopify and Operation Hope. They're on a mission to start, grow, and scale 1 million Black businesses by 2030, driving wealth creation for the Black community. Out of 6 million employer-owned businesses in the U.S., only 2.3% have Black ownership. This program gives Black entrepreneurs tools and resources to level the playing field, from free business coaching to tailored training, and extended free Shopify trial. Shopify's made a 10-year, multi-million dollar commitment to the program, and it's working. The initiative already started, supported, and engaged with over 334,000 Black businesses, helping them operate businesses that sell anything from skateboards to coffee beans to apparel. Business owners love this program. Simone Harvin, founder of SC Creative Group, says, "The 1 million Black businesses experience for me was unlike any other program I've been a part of, primarily because it was for us and it was by us. Here at Drink Champs, we are always interacting with our listeners, many being Black entrepreneurs. Shopify is one of those platforms that empowers and emboldens entrepreneurship. So chart your own path for business success with the 1 Million Black Businesses Initiative and Shopify. Bring your business to Shopify with an exclusive 120-day free trial at shopify.com/BEN, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/BEN.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Said at South by Southwest, and people was like, "What?" And I'm like, "What's an Atlanta story that you know? What's a Southern story that you know? You from the South? What stories do we have that people know about the South? Besides, ATL is not a story of the South, of the South rise in the culture of hip hop. Mm-hmm. This is the first time that we get a story about our culture and how Outkast popped, how Why You Know So Death. Oh, damn, why Luke said Bankhead and Scarred? What was the reason for that? Like, you ain't never wondered, like, he from Miami, he talking about Bankhead Bounce. Like, why he was saying that? Freaknik. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And this is the first time that, like I said, the South gets that look. I mean, I think Hollywood never felt like our stories was important.
If Freaknik never happened, would Atlanta music blow up as fast as it did?
No. Because what's that little thing with the when you put the little roach trap down and the roaches get in there and they go back to they
raid? House?
Yeah, but I'm saying it's a raid, but it's a little trap that they show on TV.
They bring the food back to the
food back to the. That's what Freaknik was for the South. People from Virginia, people from New York, people from Baltimore, people from DC, people from everywhere came to Atlanta. The DJs in Atlanta was playing bass music. So Def Bass All Stars, Luke Skywalker, blah 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 blah. Kids went back to their hoods saying, yo, we was in Atlanta, this is the new shit they playing in Atlanta. Well, this is the shit that we was doing in Freaknik, or somebody saw the video. And that's why the music spread that way, right? That's why it spread into so many places, because these people took it back home as if they had discovered some new thing that wasn't happening in their house, in their neighborhoods. And at that point, if you take it to, if 500 people go back to Virginia with that same mentality and it spread, then Virginia starts sounding like Atlanta, right? Or whatever. That's, it wouldn't. I think Freaknik was definitely our mixtape. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Freaknik was our mixtape that made people say, oh, there's some shit going on down there. It's some, you know what I mean? So that's definitely, I don't know what would have happened if we, it would have been a slower pace.
Mm-hmm. How bad was it when the labels, it seemed like, watching the doc, I seen Craig Mack performing, I seen Biggie performing. How bad was it when the label started touching Freaknik? Did it commercialize it and make it worse, or not at all?
No, it was all good. I think that was in Piedmont Park. So you know the scene when I'm showing you, and I'm talking, I'm standing in the park and that was the park stuff, and that was the concerts actually was helping, because all these black people in the park smoking weed, drinking, doing whatever they want to do, because if nobody was governing this, right? It was just y'all niggas want to go ahead. That's how the city was open to it. So they was just out there, and nobody was scared about violence. Wasn't nobody thinking about somebody pulling out a gun or anything, but that could have happened. So to give music and put music out there and then put artists on the shows that weren't just from the South definitely helped, because then people from the North or whatever West Coast, they came and they was like, oh, Snoop here. This person, you know what I'm saying? So you start feeling even more comfortable amongst all of these people.
And now y'all about to turn around and do the Magic City docuseries, right?
Yeah.
Magic City and American Fantasy.
Yeah.
What's that about? I mean, we know what it's about. Yeah.
But it's also the same thing. It's a story about Magic City that I don't think people know. Like, the story of Magic City is so much more deeper than just a strip club, right? And how Magic figured out a way to make this one club a worldwide situation. You know what I mean? And then people always keep saying, they're like, why is Drake involved? Because Drake is from a different country, and he wants to come to a little bitty strip club in Atlanta. That's crazy, right? That I don't even know how you're supposed to think about that, because I'm not from a different country. But I'm saying, to be in a different country, we in the United States, I don't want to go to, ain't nothing, I heard nothing about nothing in Canada that make me want to fly there on a Monday and be a part of it, right? This place is that crazy that has made people in Toronto want to come to Atlanta on Monday. I think you have to hear about this. So it's just, like I said, it's just highlighting things that have happened in the South that we haven't had an opportunity.
So what helped elevate the Atlanta music scene more, Freaknik or Magic City?
Freaknik.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Because you always hear about records breaking in Magic City.
Yeah, I mean, well, I think, and that was after fact. By the way, that's me saying that. That was something that I talked about. And once again, like I said, you got to remember, I wasn't in the clubs in 80, 82, 83, 84. I couldn't get in no clubs. So, and I wasn't even making music in 84. But, and so, Even in 92 when Crisscross came out, I was only 19. I still couldn't even get into Magic City. So that period where I felt like the strip club became the mixtape was a later 90s activity. Before that, Freaknik was running the show.
Damn. I saw you with, I think it was with Gayle King and Carrie Champion and all them. You were talking about how if a woman couldn't understand you being in the strip club, she wasn't the woman for you.
Yeah. 100%.
So that was a deal breaker off the top.
100%.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm saying, like, I'm going to use you, Jess, as an example. Mm-hmm. If me and Jess was talking and she came to Atlanta and I said, we going to Magic City tonight. And she was like, well, you know, I don't really fuck with no strip clubs. At that point, you have broke our synergy. You flew to Atlanta to stay at my house while I go party with my homeboys. Now, when I go...
You got a really nice house, JD, I'm sure.
Yeah, but I'm saying, but when I go to the strip club, as a woman, her mind's going to start doing this, right? I asked you to come with me so that your mind wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. But you want to stay at home and wait till I get back.
Good point.
And then come back, possibly smelling like the strip club.
Mm-hmm. With all these questions.
And then we going to have a beef. Mm-hmm. You fucked it up from the jump. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or I fucked it up by allowing you to just stay at home. I should have just made you come. So I'm just saying, ultimately, if this is part of your life, this is part of my life. So if you going to fuck with me, you got to know that that's happening. That's going to happen. Yeah. Right? Mm-hmm. It's interesting because when I was dating Janet, I tried to not take her.
I was going
to
ask you. You had Janet Jackson in Madison?
Yeah, 100%. 100%. But I fought it for the longest. I wasn't in the space mindset that I'm in right now because I wasn't paying attention to it like the way I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was thinking like, oh, if I take her in there, one of them girls going to tap me on my shoulder that I done been with and she going to know. And then I was thinking about all the bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nah, if this what you do, what you did in your past is your past. Mm-hmm. I'm with you now. Let me see what's happening. Why you want to go there every Monday? That's what her question was. Mm-hmm. Fuck it, let's go.
Did she understand after she went why you wanted to be there every Monday?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Now, when does JD get to tell his story, right? Because there's so many, I would say, people in the industry that are successful from the JD tree, right? We can go back from, of course, Little John and Scooter Braun, and we can go to, you know, of course, Usher and the stuff you did with Mariah. You can go to myself and Neil, who manages Bryson Tiller. A lot of people don't know that story. So when does JD create that story and go through it so people can understand what you did, what you produced, the artists you've broken, the executives and talent that you created?
I mean, I think the Freaknik doc helps me get into that space because, you know, for the longest, the South has been ignored. Mm. It's just what it is. Word. And I'm part of that cloth that's been ignored. Mm-hmm. You got to think, at 19... I put out my first group that everybody knows, and I wrote and produced every line and every beat in the music. At 19, if a person, and they first single was a number one, a top 100 single, right?
Mm-hmm. How about Crisscross?
Crisscross. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If that was sports, like football or basketball, they'd call me a freak of nature, right? But the fact that it was the South, they treated us like we wasn't even hip hop. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, that's some gimmick shit. Like, that ain't real hip hop. So then it made people ignore the fact that I'm the person who ushered in young people rapping. If it wasn't for them, you as a young person, you wouldn't even know that it was possible that you could have a record deal. Mm-hmm. Who else has come out since Bow Wow that, you know, Bow Wow was the only other person that did it. And I put him out. Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying the stories have been ignored. So somebody, you know, at least we get one story and we got two stories. Hopefully that, you know, from that, it'll get into that space so you can actually see it. And then people won't have this misconception about what they have about me.
Michael Bivens said you got the whole backwards thing from him. The whole backwards clothes. He said that up here, actually.
He said what?
He said that up here. He said,
oh, I didn't get it from him. Mm-hmm. But BBD was in a space where they was doing things, right? Mm-hmm. And I think they had their pants inside out. That's what, cause I say that in the song, cause inside out is weedy, 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 weedy.
Yeah.
ABC was wearing their clothes inside out. So the day that I told Chris to put his jump on backwards, That's what I was thinking about. I'm like, they got their clothes on Inside Out. Maybe you should turn yours around. I never saw BBD do it. And mm-hmm. I spoke to Mike because he got on his cover of his, I think, Do Me Baby. He got a BBD jacket on that I thought was a leather pullover. Mm-hmm. And he was like, nah, I had my jacket on backwards. So we had a conversation about it, but mm-hmm. I didn't actually know. I never knew that that's what was happening.
And you know, when people talk about you too, JD, they got to talk about the fact that Mace thanks you for being the first person to pay him his worth. You introduced Biggie, you know, to Atlanta in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And so who knows how that inspired him. And Jay-Z with Money Ain't a Thing.
Yeah.
Was an introduction to the South in a lot of ways. So you got to get credit for that too.
Yeah. I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It's like I said, it's been ignored. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all you could do. Like I said, if I was in New York, I'd be the king.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
100%. It's no way. I mean, even like today, you don't know a person. Y'all don't have a person that can come up here this year that had his first number one record in 1992 and got a record that's number one today. You won't see nobody else come up here to this station this year.
Damn.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, that's actually true.
You won't.
No.
Not this year. I mean, we probably won't have it next year either. But I'm saying, no. My first number one record was in 1992. Mm-hmm. I have the number one R&B record in the country today.
Damn, do you think it's the media? Because even when you look at Atlanta.
You said I was born in 92.
You were born in 92.
Atlanta's run has been longer than everybody, too.
My run has been longer than everybody's.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I think that's another thing. Like, when people say Atlanta's run. Yeah, Atlanta's run. But my run. I'm a cocky person, but I don't be one to just like, hey, you know what I mean? I represent the city, so mm-hmm. I let the whole city get the splash for it. But my run has been longer than anybody's.
Well, if you don't tell your story, JD, nobody else is.
No, I'm gonna tell it. Yeah. Believe me, that's why it's important that you watch Freak Nick on Thursday. Y'all run them streams up at Hulu.
That's right.
So that Hulu calls me and says, JD, we need your story.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Now, you're on Social Def too, right?
Huh?
You relaunching Social Def?
Yeah.
As far as label?
Yeah.
What artists do you have? Are you looking for artists? I know you got to go. But are you looking for artists? And are you putting a sign back up in Atlanta that says...
Yeah, I'm putting a sign back up. I don't know if I'm supposed to say this. But anyway, I can say it. I'm going to say it anyway. Mm-hmm. BMF comes to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Or they're in Atlanta right now. Mm-hmm. And you'll see in the BMF series that the sign goes back up. Mm-hmm. And at that point, when that happened... I was like, okay, as many niggas watch this, I'm gonna have to put this sign back up, cause mm-hmm. you know what I mean. So nah, we gonna put it back up. On the artist tip, I'm looking for new artists. It's just my, you know, it's that's what I wanted. I wanted a space for me to continue to keep putting out new artists. Mm-hmm. I love putting out new artists. I'm not scared to put out new artists, and I don't think nobody else could do it better than me. All
right. When you paid Mace what he was worth, did you do that just to upstage Diddy?
No. I don't, you know, when I pay people, I don't know that I'm paying them more than, you know, mm-hmm. I don't know that that's, you know, I don't have that conversation. Mm-hmm. I just go after what I want. Like if I wanted, you know, when I signed Harlem World, I wanted to make the deal because Mace kept telling everybody in every interview that he did that he came to Atlanta to meet with me. Mm-hmm. Right. So I actually felt like I fucked up. Right, so I felt like, damn, I fucked up and I missed this nigga Mason. He out here killing it. Da, 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 da. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, you know what? Let's make this deal. And he told me what he wanted to do, and I didn't think about it twice. I just was like, let's do the deal. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was giving him more money than he was. You know, I never knew that.
Mm. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah.
Freak Nick this Thursday. Appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, congratulations, Money Long. Let me say this. She might be watching. Congratulations, Money Long. Number one record. It's an R&B song, no rap, number one urban record in the country. Yeah.
There you go. That's it's right. Jermaine Dupri.
Yeah.
It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake that ass up early in the morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk. Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles ready for next day installation and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit RightRug.com. That's RiteRug.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.